Word of mouth.
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 Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. For centuries, bedside manner was the last thing you'd expect in a surgeon. In the days before anesthesia, the idea of friendly exchanges with the person who was preparing to hold you down and cut you open was preposterous. Things have changed, but still, the image of a brusque, singularly focused surgeon remains. Today, even technically gifted surgeons are expected to exhibit emotional awareness and an ability to communicate with patients. Wen Shen is a surgeon specializing in endocrinology at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center. And he argues in Pacific Standard's medical issue that the quest to create a kinder surgeon, though admirable, may not be very good for our health. Wen Shen, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first, tell us a little bit about the culture of surgeons that you observed when you were a resident, what some might consider to be kind of the good old days.
Yes, I started my training in 1999, and at that time, I think, at least my perception was, many of the old stereotypes about surgeons still definitely held true. Surgeons were fearless, confident, bordering, in fact, often exhibiting arrogant behavior, always sure of their decisions. And there was a definite high level of machismo and kind of I can take care of this badassedness that pervaded all levels of my surgical training program. And I aspired to be that kind of fighter pilot, that kind of take charge and, you know, very, very aggressive type person. And it was very difficult to reconcile some of my own insecurities and doubts and feelings about, you know, whether or not I was causing harm in my patients with this image, this heroic image that I wanted to emulate.
So I guess that bravado probably wouldn't go over very well inside of the hospital either. I mean, if you have so many fighter pilots on the same floor, how does everybody get along?
Well, I mean, I can say, I mean, the paradox that I talk about in the article and that I think is still probably quite present that surgeons are celebrated for their abilities, in fact, a very necessary and vital part of the medical community and society at large. But at the same time, they're probably, at least in reputation, among the most reviled and even feared members of the hospital staff.
You tell stories of your fellow residents and you thinking nothing of yelling at nurses, bullying the internal medicine and ER docs, even throwing instruments around. So what has changed since you were a resident?
Well, it's interesting. It hasn't even been that long, but even in that time, within the past decade or two, there's been a remarkable shift. And I would say definitely overwhelmingly for the positive at putting a damper on some of that behavior. And the idea, I think, stemmed really from this concept of multidisciplinary care in medicine and the importance of teamwork and effective communication and collaboration. And overall, those kinds of behaviors that, you know, they weren't routine, like happening every single day, but it was not unheard of to see senior surgeons throwing instruments or people yelling or bullying. And the interesting thing is that all this was tailored towards, you know, ostensibly taking care of the patient, or the patient's number one. But then all these kind of negative behaviors stemmed out of that, and doing right for your patient meant, you know, ticking off and even bullying other people. And there's definitely been a damper put on that, and I think it's overall created much more positive working environments in the operating room and on the wards. And definitely some of that behavior is absolutely grounds for either at least a trip to the chair's office and sometimes even suspension if it goes that far.
Mm-hmm. So is there this belief that if you're a nice surgeon, you're not good at your job?
Well, I don't think so. And that's the thing that is, to me, the most kind of interesting, the crux problem that I try to investigate or explore in this article is I don't think they are mutually exclusive, but I think it is very difficult to reconcile some of the personality traits that we inculcate into trainees and young surgeons with this idea of being kind and compassionate and gentle. I think you have to very much toggle between extremes of your emotional state, where in the operating room or when dealing with a difficult situation, You have to be a cold-blooded killer in many ways. You have to be focused. You have to be perfectionist. You have to be single-minded. And then immediately ratchet over and be kind and gentle and calm and understanding. All those things, it's very difficult to go between those emotional states. And that's what I wanted to highlight, is that we ask surgeons to be good at both.
It's so interesting to use that term, the cold-blooded killer. You know, when the patient is number one, saving the life is number one. And of course, this is all coming from the patient's perspective, right? That we interact with the personality rather than seeing their surgical skill in the operating room. And you illustrate this in a story in your piece, comparing Dr. Hodad and the raptor. Can you illuminate that story for us?
Yeah, I took that from my friend Marty Makary, who's a surgeon at Johns Hopkins, who wrote a book published 2 years ago called Unaccountable, about transparency in healthcare. And he uses this story from his residency as an illustration of the different kinds of docs that are out there. And he talks about a Dr. Hodad, who was a very kindly, well-liked surgeon who all the patients just loved because he had outstanding bedside manner and was very communicative and took time and all these very positive qualities. But in the operating room, he had terrible skills and his patients actually did very badly. And Hodad stood for hands of death and destruction.
Ooh.
And the residents and the staff all knew that he had bad outcomes and couldn't operate. But because the patients loved him so much, he was extraordinarily popular and successful. On the other hand, he talks about the raptor, who was another surgeon on staff, who was the, I guess, embodiment of the negative stereotypes of surgeons, cold, abrasive, and definitely not popular amongst patients and staff, but had outstanding technical skills and outcomes, and his patients did wonderfully. And he uses that as an example to look at how transparency in healthcare will allow for us to better understand what's behind the demeanor, and you know that poor surgeons like Dr. Hodad would not be allowed to continue because their outcomes would become public. But what I wanted to look at was what's going on with the raptor, because the emphasis now on customer satisfaction as a provider metric, something that insurance companies are using to determine reimbursement and such, the behaviors of someone like the raptor are not going to be tolerated. And even though the outcomes are good, if the external appearance or the interaction is not good, then the raptor is in danger of also suffering the same fate as the Hodad.
To quote Stephen Sondheim, nice is different than good. And that's part of the question being asked by my guest, Wen Chen. He's a surgeon and endocrinologist and author of an article for Pacific Standard's Medical Issue called Bloody Nice: Is the Quest to Build a Kinder, Gentler Surgeon Misguided? Well, Wen Chen, you're at a teaching hospital and cite a 2013 study showing that surgical professionals estimate that fewer than half of new residents are able to perform routine procedures independently, and that more than a quarter of the graduating residents feel they need more training. Now, is it possible that these numbers are not new, but surgeons are simply more willing to acknowledge doubt nowadays?
Yes, I think that's actually probably a big part of it. A lot of this is perception, and you can see that those were survey studies. And one study was surveying the program directors, so the kind of supervising surgeons, and their perception was that the trainees were not as capable as they have been in the past. On the flip side, the survey of graduating residents also asked them, how do you feel? And a lot of them did say that they didn't feel confident in their abilities enough to go out and practice independently. And I think, you know, a lot of this is perception, but I think also, at least on the surgical trainee side, it's this willingness to admit uncertainty or doubt, which you could argue is a good thing. You want your young surgeon to know his or her limits and where they need to improve. But at the same time, now we have to create a system that gives them that confidence and that self-assurance that they can ultimately go out and do their job.
So how do you suggest patients approach a hospital stay? If someone's looking for an excellent surgeon, should they go with the person they most dislike?
No, definitely not. I mean, I think at the core still, you have to have trust in the surgeon. That does not necessarily mean you have to like him or her. The problem is patients and customers don't have access to good information. A lot of it is usually very, very superficial in many ways. And really, until we have a system where the outcomes, surgeons' outcomes are available and understood, that we can make more informed decisions. Right now, the best way you can do it is really kind of word of mouth. You can ask the hospital staff who they would go to. A lot of people get recommended by friends or someone who's gone through a similar thing, and having a way that's more objective and of measuring surgeons is going to be, I think, the way of the future, and it's already happening.
Well, we find word of mouth is the best way to communicate a lot.
Yes, that's the name of the show, I forgot.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Virginia.
Wen Shan, a surgeon specializing in endocrinology at the University of California, San Francisco Medical Center. You'll find a link to read his article for Pacific Standard at wordofmouthradio.org. And we would like to know what you think. Would you cope with a prickly practitioner if you thought he or she was the right person for the job? Should surgeons get a pass for the occasional outburst? If you're a surgeon, what do you think about the changing culture of the operating room? You can share your thoughts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.